Bob May is currently a farmer helping his father raise cattle on his family's farm in Bergton. He attends Asbury United Methodist Church, where his wife Alma, who is here today to support him, is director of children's ministries. He previously served as a computer teacher for the United Methodist Church, spending 10 years living in Asia, the Middle East, and the South Pacific. Before that, Bob worked as a computer programmer for Defense Department-related projects. He has a master's in computer science from Johns Hopkins University and a bachelor's in applied math from the University of Virginia. Bob's capstone presentation is entitled Doing Mission Projects Just a Little Bit Better, A Guide for Me. Welcome, Bob.
Let's do this. Okay. Yeah. Woo! Let's do it. All right, doing mission projects just a little bit better, a guide for me. A few years ago, I was invited to teach school in Kenya. And that was something that I wanted to do, but I thought before I went there, I wanted to do something nice for all the students and teachers. So I came up with this idea to buy flip-flops for everyone. So I told my church about the idea. We had a fundraiser, and we bought a heck of a lot of flip-flops. And we put them in these big boxes and sent them off to Kenya. And about a month later, I arrived at the school, and I went into the principal's office, and there were these big boxes of flip-flops. Opened, all the flip-flops were still there. And so I asked about the shoes, the flip-flops. And the principal said, "Did you send those shoes?" And I said, very humbly, "Yes, I sent those shoes. That was my idea." And he said, "Come with me." And he took me behind the school, and he said, "What this school needs is a toilet." And he took me out in the field, and he said, "What this school needs is a drip irrigation system." And then he took me to this empty shed, and he said, "What this school needs is a dairy cow." And then there was a silence and sort of an implied, "But thanks for the flip-flops." So my flip-flop idea was a flop. And I think it actually made the situation worse for the school. Now, I don't think I'm alone with having bad ideas. Everywhere that I've served, there have been so many failed missions development projects, so many abandoned projects, broken, just left there. Everywhere, abroad, here, a lot of failed projects. And some studies say that we're spending about $5 billion a year in missions work. And I wonder, is there some way to kind of ensure that this money gets used the way that we really want to serve folks? So, I'm trying. All right, my intentions are great. I think all of our intentions are really good. We believe it when Jesus said to feed the hungry, give water to the thirsty, to care for the sick, to meet those immediate physical needs of folks. And I think we also believe in the things that Jesus said when he reads from Isaiah about sharing the gospel with the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and especially setting the oppressed free, breaking these structures of oppression. We believe in those things. But I wonder if there's one more step. if there's one more thing that we should be doing. John Wesley said, do good and do no harm. This means that I have to think about the consequences of my actions before I do it. I've got to think before I act. So how can I do no harm? Now, when I arrived at seminary, I didn't know anything about seminary stuff. Nothing. Biblical interpretation? Nothing. Christian tradition? Nothing. Any of the books of the Bible? Nothing. No formal training in any of that. Now, the one thing that I thought I knew well was practical, on-the-ground Christian missions work. And I said, as soon as we get to that stuff, baby, I'm going to shine. I couldn't wait to get to Missio Dei and churches and social transformation. I could not wait. Biblical foundations for peace and justice. But when I was in the class, started learning things, I realized I didn't even know this stuff. I didn't know the big issues. I didn't know paternalism, my white savior complex, and even that a farm boy from Bergton has got incredible privilege. Seminary totally changed the way that I look at missions work. Now, seminary gave me this broad understanding of a lot of those issues, and I think that my classes at CJP gave me a real practical process for attacking some of those problems. They introduced me to a lot of analysis tools. I didn't even know this stuff existed. I was a missionary, you know, for so many years. I never did any analysis on any of my projects. I don't think anyone ever did. This was totally new to me. I think they're very useful and helpful. We studied John Paul Lederach and his integrated framework for peace building, and that influenced me a lot. And just recently we talked about serendipity, and that's this unpredictable, great stuff results that happens from who knows where. Where does this stuff come from? In complex systems, it's very unpredictable. It's called serendipity at CJP. Here at the seminary, I call it the Holy Spirit. So that brings us right back to the seminary. So my classes at CJP really complemented my classes at the seminary, and my coursework at the seminary complemented my classes at CJP. Now, because I don't do mission work very well, I use the ideas from Scripture and John Wesley and the seminary and CJP to write this guide. And I called it Doing Mission Projects Just a Little Bit Better, A Guide for Some Churches. That was the start. Now, I changed it to where it's just a guide for me. I would just be happy if I followed the thing. The way we start is to come up with a location you want to work in an area of service. Now, the important thing about the location is that you have to be able to make a connection with the local community, either with the people there or with an organization that's really closely tied to the people. For me, maybe Bergton. Maybe working at the food pantry in Bergton would be a good idea. Wherever, the important thing is to make a local connection. And the plan has three parts. First part is mapping the work that's being done there. then looking for opportunities for work and partnerships, and finally there is a self-assessment, hopefully guided by the Holy Spirit at every one of those steps. So the first step, mapping the current work. Who's working in the area? What are they doing? And what level are they working at? Kind of a survey. Now, the different levels in this particular plan, I put in four: individual level, community level, national level, and global level. And if I was looking at a Bergton food pantry, ideas for projects at those levels would be: at the individual level, give a person food. Community level is when the churches open a community food pantry. National level, we're part of the WIC program, Women, Infants, Children, federal grants for food. And then it's possible that we're part of a global food safety partnership. Now, an important part about this are these red arrows back and forth, these links or connections between these projects. These are projects that are intentionally designed to work together. Intentionally designed to work together. And studies say that the more projects that you have linked on these vertical levels, the more likely the problem's going to be solved and solved sustainably. And I would also say that the more projects that you have horizontally, the more likely your project is going to work. So over on the left-hand side is the Bergton Food Pantry, for example, and on the right-hand side is my flip-flop project. Connected to nothing. Isolated. Very, very low impact project. Unfortunately, I think that's the way most of my projects have been. They haven't been connected to anything. This is just a table that I put together to fill out to kind of figure out what level things are working at. And I just wanted you to see it. I don't want to go through it. The second step is opportunities for work and partnerships. And what I offer at this step is a list of questions to try to guide you, or guide me, rather, in making good decisions about partnerships. Things like, do the locals have leadership roles in their organization? Using local knowledge instead of my knowledge. Do they have a good reputation? Do they do monitoring and evaluation? Things like that. And again, it's a kind of a table that they use from the first part, from step one, that you use to fill out step two, finding possible partnerships and areas where you can work. And then finally, we've got the self-assessment. So after you've done this, the idea is, in this particular context, with these partners, with this partner, working at this level, am I well suited to work on this project? Am I well suited to do this work? And I ask a series of tough questions here in this part. How well do I understand the local context? What are my motivations for working on this project? And it's very possible that after I finish filling this thing out, that I don't work on this project because I'm not the best one to do it. Or I don't do it well, rather. I don't do this project very well. Now, will these steps help? Will they help? I put it to a panel of experts. Peer review. I sent it out to 10 people, 8 people responded. We've got missiologists, we've got peace builders, we've got UN workers, I've got a development economist from the Reserve Bank of Australia that looked at it, I've got on the ground missionaries, And I've got my mom. Yeah. And I've got my mom too. Typical person in a church. Maybe she wants to do some mission work. You know, what do you think about it, Mom? Well, she got tired of reading it. Yeah. Yeah, but she thought I put some good thought into it. So, you know, it's a little bit encouraging. Basically, everybody thought that my explanation could be a little bit better than it was. It really wasn't clear. My guide was not clear. And the second thing was that it was incomplete. A lot of people said it was incomplete. I'm missing parts. Well, to me, that was encouraging. Because it meant I'm on the right track. All right? It's not that I shouldn't be doing this. It's that I should be doing even more of it. Even more research. Even more planning. Even more analysis. So I feel okay about it. I need to write my explanation out better. It was really unclear. Everybody thought it wasn't very good. So I need to do that. But the peer review was very, very helpful. I got some great ideas from that. They're not in the guide yet, but I want to put them in the guide. But it was, I mean, I was really, I was shocked by how insightful the comments were and about things that I just totally missed. So, I believe the scriptures, John Wesley, CJP, the seminary, and my panel of experts all agree that if we don't know people in situations, then we can't respond well. And if we don't know people in situations, then we end up buying them flip-flops when we should have built a toilet. The more intimately and deeply we know people and their situations at every level, the better we can serve them and the better our expression of love can be. Thank you.